that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man. Tell them.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. So, when you go, if you're a fitness enthusiast, if you're in a gym regularly, whether it's a regular fitness facility or a martial arts gym or a CrossFit or, you know, a boutique fitness center, whatever it is, there's typically going to be the people that are kind of you view as like the most fit, like the ones that work out the hardest or in the best shape. And they also tend to be the ones that are walking around with the most injuries. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon for somebody who on one hand can perform some spectacular athletic feats or feats of strength to also finish their set or whatever they're doing and then walk away limping or holding their arm or be in some kind of pain.
And, or they disappear for a few months and they come back and say, oh, I had just had surgery on my
exactly.
shoulder.
Exactly. So like there's just the part of it is there's a natural kind of risk-reward ratio when it comes to exercise. And so you work at a certain level and then just injuries just become a part of life. You see that. We're not going to talk much about athletics specifically, but you see it in sports all the time. Mm-hmm. Athletes are injuring themselves all the time and they deal with lots of the issues that we're talking about today because of the nature of it. Just you're using your body. And so just over time, there are many chances to hurt yourself. So while, you know, being fit and exercising is essential, there are also risks that come with it. So I think today's discussion, we're going to kind of cover some of the risks that are involved and then also how to avoid it or the best mm-hmm. ways to kind of mitigate the potential risk of getting hurt or injuring yourself.
So we know that freak accidents can happen. You know, God forbid you're doing some sort of lift and you slip and, you know, something traumatic happens, or maybe you're playing a sport and you collide with someone. We know those types of injuries exist and they're unfortunate. And you hate to say, well, yeah, they can sort of be prevented, but those are freak accidents. We want to talk more about ones where there is an opportunity to prevent them or mitigate them through various different means. So with that being said, what are some of the more common ones? What's the first types of injuries that you think of?
I mean,
it comes to exercising.
Yeah, the first one is pretty typical, just bone and joint injuries. Mm. So you see that often. It happens for a number of reasons. I think the first one is just, you know, if you're doing something with improper form, it's easy, especially over time, which we'll get into a little bit, but it's easy to injure a muscle or injure a tendon or ligament just doing something with improper form.
Especially if you have a lot of weight.
Yeah, you know, then
putting yourself in an odd position.
Exactly. Or if they're hyperextension injuries, you know, you're dealing with lots of potential kind of just bone and joint injuries that come, again, with improper form or too much weight. So sometimes if you're using too much weight, like on a squat, it's easy to herniate a disc. The movements are so dynamic often, or not dynamic, which also causes a problem. So it's just that the nature of it, they're naturally just going to be a number of different kinds of orthopedic injuries that are just going to happen just through bad form. So that's kind of the one thing that does happen and is very common in a gym, especially with improper supervision or if you're in a class and the instructor's not looking. Actually, this also brings up a whole other podcast discussion is what is proper form and like is perfect form necessary? I say no, but that's a whole other discussion we'll talk about. But that's one potential thing.
So clearly the way to prevent that is through having better form, practicing, and maybe not pushing yourself over the edge.
Yeah.
Right? Not doing more weight than you can handle just because you want to try it. Really building up to it, especially with more complex exercises.
Yeah.
Right? You want to err on the side of safety first.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's exactly it. Like proper form is essential. And proper form for you. So I think that's, again, different discussion, but there's like kind of what would be the ideal form, and then there's going to be what's right for you. And so sometimes there's a difference
between
the two.
That plays into it tremendously. If your body's not meant to bend a certain way and you force it to bend a certain way, well, you're asking for trouble.
So you know, proper mechanics is going to be essential. And then, proper progression. So you may do the perfect bench press, but if you're using more weight than your body is able to handle, then you're going to get hurt. That's where a lot of bodybuilders or weightlifters get injured is, you know, the body is only supposed to handle a certain amount of weight. So once you start, and then also the way the muscles adapt much faster than the tendons will adapt. Mm. So you see a lot of tendon injuries among weightlifters because the muscles can handle the weight, but the tendons, you know, the kind of connective tissue can't. And so you'll see a lot of injuries because of that. So there, you know, just proper progression is important when it comes to that with those types of injuries. So another connected is deals with muscle imbalances. So another issue when you don't use proper form is that you end up with injuries that are caused by, you know, one set or group of muscles being much, you know, being used too much and overly used and over tight, and then another area where they're underused. And
now, could this happen from over time developing certain muscles?
Yeah,
a certain way, or maybe just the way that you function in life. If you sit a certain way, or you're used to walking, but and you don't use certain muscle groups, so they're weaker. Maybe something in your core where your core isn't strong enough, so it might lead to an injury, or maybe maybe within your arm, right? Like let's say you develop your biceps, but maybe some part of your shoulder isn't, like something like that.
Well, kind of all of the above. So first in life, if your lifestyle causes muscle imbalances, that's the worst part. So
we've talked about that.
So if you're sitting sedentary, you sit, you're hunched over, you're leaning forward, you know, that's posture's part one. That's gonna be a problem. Part two is exercise as well. So if you exercise a certain way, that could create muscle imbalances. So like one example, one study that I found at the Journal of Sports Medicine showed that runners, when compared to non-runners, actually had significant imbalances in certain areas. So like the hip, the abductor, the adductor, hip flexor muscle groups, there were all imbalances there, that were not as when compared with non-runners, were not as pronounced. I'm sorry, they were more pronounced than non-runners. So that's one thing you'll see with exercise, but also some of it's genetic. So there are some people that are going to have just naturally tighter muscles than others. So
now, what's a type of injury that might occur from an imbalance?
So you could have more, something that's kind of more acute would be, you know, if you I don't know if you have really, you know, you really tight muscles and you're doing some kind of activity that it causes a tear.
Oh.
Or you have a really weak area. So let's say, you know, a lot of people have very weak glutes. So maybe you're doing an exercise, you've exacerbated that problem where like the quads are overworked and the hamstrings are overworked and the glutes aren't. But then you're doing some kind of a movement that requires high glute activity, but the glutes aren't firing. So then that may cause extra strain on other muscles that may cause a tear or may cause some kind of, so I'm just something throwing something out there.
Sure.
But if there's an imbalance, then there's a potential injury there. Now, the other potential is then another category, which is overuse injuries. If you have
Pitcher in Major League Baseball has to have surgery.
Yeah. Well. So, well, actually, that's a good one because we'll kind of to color this example. You know, again, we're going to use an example dealing with pitchers. But basically, overuse, if you're, you know, it happens with imbalances, but it also just happens if you're doing something too much. So if you have a muscle imbalance, let's say you everybody has like kind of a forward imbalance. Typically it's called like upper cross syndrome, where you have kind of protracted shoulders, elevated, shoulders are protracted and elevated, the neck's forward. So that over time can get exacerbated. So if you're doing, you know, heavy bench pressing, it's easy for an overuse injury to occur in the rotator cuff, or, you know, even other places in the lower back, because of those partially because of the imbalances and partially because you're doing something too much. But an overuse injury can happen without a muscle imbalance. Again, if you're just doing something too much. So you see it most...
Our bodies are not... We're not robots. We're not machines.
Now, we see it most often in sports, but this can happen with... I mean, again, we mentioned with runners. So part of the imbalances with runners is just overuse. So you do something... Mm-hmm. If you do a repetitive activity that promotes a muscle imbalance, it will exacerbate that muscle imbalance. So if you're a runner and you already have the imbalances, then it's going to exacerbate that problem. Same thing you see with a lot of running sports. Basketball players have that issue. And again, the reason why sports is a good example is because by nature, they have to do repetitive
same
things over and over and over. That's where tennis elbow comes from. It's it's a repetitive use injury. It's overuse. Pitchers, so an interesting thing, when we were kids, and maybe they still talk about it today, but we would hear why shouldn't that was the thing with pitchers, like young pitchers were told not to throw breaking pitches because it was too much stress on the arm, and that was what was causing injuries. And the recent research actually shows that the better indicator isn't the type of pitch but the amount. So it's the innings pitched and the amount of pitches that's going to indicate whether they're going to get injured or not. And then again, we see it in youth sports that there's data that shows that up to 50% of young athletes are dealing with overuse injuries and burnout and
that's
overreaching.
A tremendous podcast.
So, but that's a whole other But again, kids sports is a whole other thing. So we're not going to talk about it much.
It's actually a fascinating topic.
Yeah. So yeah. So right there, you see like overuse combined with bad form lead to. So I guess what we talk about, like, how do you fix it? Obviously, one thing is listen to your body. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the overuse injuries, you have to make sure that recovery is included in your program. Mm-hmm. So if you're working out 6 days a week, you might and intensely, it's probably too much. So recovery needs to be incorporated. If you feel exhausted, if you feel tired, if you feel mentally fatigued, then you may need to skip the workout. It's not, you know, don't just sometimes it's not worth it to just push or fight through. If there's pain, you probably need to take some time off. So you kind of need to listen to your body. And then
almost everyone I know who's lifted weights, well, not everyone, but so many people I know who have lifted weights seriously have either had a shoulder injury or a knee injury.
Yeah.
And that just goes for people that are athletic. It's almost a given that you're going to have one of those two injuries.
Yeah. Why
do you think that is? Just you think maybe that's because they're the two parts of the body that are very complex, but also they're a little more fragile, or there's
look at the shoulder. I mean, the shoulder, the knee, and the hip joints are all incredibly complicated in what they, you know, more the shoulder and knee, especially because of the amount of mobility. I mean, I'm sorry, the shoulder and the hips because of the mobility, but the knee too. They're very complicated joints. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of stress that gets transferred through those joints. So and when you're doing anything with the upper body, almost anything is going to involve the shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, so anything you do with your upper body is going to involve your shoulder. Anything you do with your lower body is going to involve the knee. So even if the form's perfect, there's just a lot of stress on those joints. So if you're a weightlifter, you're putting more stress than we're supposed to be, you know, or kind of we've evolved to handle on those joints. So it makes sense that, you're going to deal with some kind of knee injury or some kind of,
it's so common. Everyone, when they do the bench press, they want to go down all the way.
Yeah.
Maybe some people that have good genetics can do that, but I know that just puts a ton of stress on
the shoulders.
I mean, it's not even working the chest.
I understand.
Anymore.
Yeah, when you go beyond like parallel, I've always done like parallel, and you know, people call me, they kind of try to call me out on whatever how I wouldn't go all the way down the chest, but you know, it's like a knock on wood. I have shoulder issues, but that's because I dislocated my shoulder in a freak accident softball.
Yeah.
So that's why. I mean, otherwise, I've never really dealt with any shoulder injuries besides that one traumatic injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, my knee, we'll get into running a little bit, but that's more for the heart. But I wasn't ever a big runner, and I was never a big squat. Like, you know, at times I would squat a lot, but I would go, my form was, you know, parallel. I wasn't going deep into squats. I wasn't going deep into the form for bench press. And I've never dealt with any real knee injuries or hip injury or shoulder. I've been so far pretty healthy. And again, this is just me as an example. But I do think part of it, especially with the shoulders, is, I would bench heavy, but I would never go too deep on the bench press. And I know, most people I know that anyone who's benches heavy, you probably have dealt with some kind of, you know, shoulder issue at some point.
It's funny, you mentioned running. When growing up, my parents, everyone would always say runners are the healthiest.
Yeah.
Like that was the sort of epitome of health. Someone who's got this great heart, right? And they're just in great shape and they're just really healthy. But there might be some evidence that shows this is not always the case.
Yeah. So I think that like anything, it's part of it is in extremes. So first thing we'll talk about... So before we really get to running specifically, but more, I guess first thing we'll talk about is there are a lot of incidents of just sudden cardiac death. It happens, and it happens often with exercise. Now, what studies show, and again, we reference studies a lot, and so anytime we're doing an episode that's heavy on that, the links will be in the show notes, so all mm-hmm. the links to everything will be there. But what they show is that I think 72% of the time, there is some kind of an underlying heart condition sure. dealing with it. You know, the other time...
Most healthy people that are athletes and young aren't just going to drop dead.
Yeah, so you're going to, you know, it's generally there's some kind of an underlying yeah. heart issue dealing with it. And so, you know, you have to keep that in mind. And the other times there are a number of other things that can happen, whether there's some kind of a traumatic injury or heat stroke or, you know, any number of potential mm-hmm. things that can, which is actually, speaking of which, heat stroke and like dehydration for, sure. you know, if you're outdoors or it's really intense, you know, it's really important to stay hydrated and stay cool. Mm-hmm. Those are a couple other potential injuries that can happen with exercise sure. I didn't mention. But getting back to the heart, there's an interesting study in the British Medical Journal that covered 1,000 people. So now these 1,000 people had stable coronary heart disease. So over 10 years.
So they had
coronary
manageable.
Heart disease, okay. But it was stable, right? And they were studied over 10 years. So now let's think of three categories. You got category one, which is normal physical activity. So normal exercise. Okay. Right? You had one level above that, which was very strenuous exercise. Mm-hmm. And then you had a level below that, which was physically inactive. Hmm. So which of those three do you think would be the most likely to die within the 10 years in those three groups?
Well, certainly the no exercise.
Okay. Which do you think would be the least likely to die in that group?
I would say either the strenuous exercise or the moderate exercise.
Yeah. Okay. So it would be the moderate exercise. So basically,
I could see why that makes sense, because if you exercise crazy, then it's going to put stress on an already injured heart.
Yeah. Now here's an interesting part of that study was that the least exercise, they were twice as likely to die as the moderate, but the strenuous exercise were also twice as likely to die as the moderate. So it's interesting. I mean, you know, we're going to go into a couple other studies that kind of bear this out a little bit. It explains why that could potentially be happening. So,
well, the heart's a muscle.
Yeah.
Think about it. And just like you can overuse your bicep, chest, right, and quads, whatever it is, your heart can get overused as well. And if there's some sort of injury that's plaguing your heart, such as coronary heart disease, which I think the basis of that is a plaque starts gunking up the arteries, right? I think it constricts blood flow and stuff along those lines. So your heart is already injured. It already has an issue. So by pushing it too hard, would exacerbate it and could certainly lead to heart attacks and death, stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's a problem in itself. So I guess right off the bat, it's like it is important to make sure your heart, you know,
so if
is
you're going to
okay.
go hard, make sure yeah. you and have it, all your
definitely
you know,
leads me like I should probably, because there's definitely some history in my family. So it's one of the things, especially if I'm, you know, it's like,
and it's so ironic too, because we read other studies among people that didn't have heart disease or super high blood pressure, that very strenuous exercise prevented these things.
Yeah, so that's part of the problem also with research, is that just in it's natural that it contradicts each other. In fact, in the last few weeks, I saw a research study because we talked about sitting and how sitting increases your chances. Even if you exercise, it increases. Then I saw a study that said X amount of exercise will balance off the effects of being sedentary. Then this morning I saw a headline for another study that I didn't read yet, but that headline then said X amount of sitting per day doubles your chances of heart disease. So it's just like there's always a contradictory study, so you kind of have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But what makes some of these interesting, so we go back, going back to the some other stuff that I've read. So according to, it was a Canadian Cardiovascular Congress, there's an increased risk of cardiovascular disease among marathon runners. So there is another one connected, like kind of so similar, that bears this out a little bit. A Journal of Applied Physiology checked members of the 100 Marathon Club. So these are people who have run 100 marathons. Half had damage to the heart.
A hundredth of a hundredth of a marathon.
Half of them had damage to the heart. So why, you know, question then becomes like, why is it, what's causing it? That's and overused. You alluded to it earlier, you know, mentioning that, you know, the heart's a muscle. And so there was another journal of circulation that did an animal study. So again, this was done with mice, and they subjected them to the intensity of like a marathon runner over the course of 10 years. And what they found was that there was scarring to the heart caused by the intensity of the exercise. And then there's another European journal found that 12% of athletes had scar tissue in their heart.
Wow.
On MRI, showed scar tissue 1 week after a race. Wow. So on MRI scans, they actually showed scar tissue. So
are these for distance?
Yeah, these are marathon runners. So basically that, again, it's risk-reward. So anything in extreme causes problem, and any exercise is strain. So you're doing not cardio, it's strain
runners.
On the heart. So it becomes kind of, you have to be careful with anything you do. There is, again, it's risk-reward.
And I've known a lot of distance runners that have had issues with their knees,
their
hips.
Although then you'll get some who've never had issues at all. There's some
that
people
could be genetics.
I think part of it again with
stretching. Who knows?
I was actually talking to a physical therapist, very very good guy, very knowledgeable, the other day, and he's a runner, and you're saying that part of it is also just overuse with bad form, which we talked about. So kind of the worst. Overuse can be bad. But if you're overuse combined with bad form, kind of just exacerbates everything. And then also depending on the activity, if you're doing something that's very kind of violent and aggressive, like a golf swing, we don't think of it as a violent sport, but it's a pretty jarring movement.
Sure.
That, that by its nature can potentially, can cause injuries, even doing it with what would be good form for that swing. So, running, again, there's proper form for running, and
what you're running, the surface you're running on. Know I've read stuff said that people who run on concrete have a higher risk of injury than people who either run on grass or on a surface track designed for running.
Honestly, I'm not sure. I've heard both. I've heard arguments kind of
it would make
both
sense
sides.
That the impact of running on a concrete.
Technically, but if you're running properly, there's kind of always that forward momentum. It shouldn't be.
But then again, not everyone
up and
has
down.
Perfect form.
Yeah, no, so that's the thing. So then the question becomes, when it comes to those kind of joint injuries, is it more about the form of the runner, or is it more the overuse, or some combination? I would probably think it's generally going to be some combination of the two when it comes to runners.
What about the risk of runner injuries, like that guy that was running a marathon, and it was in the Olympics, and then another guy from the crowd jumped out and tried to tackle him, running.
Well,
there's always that risk as
well. Yeah, I guess
so. Of a fan jumping in and interfering.
Yeah, that probably not.
I guess that would go under the freak injury category.
Yeah, I would think so. there's. That's about all that I, had for today as far as the injuries. So it's a lot to
things
to go
think
over.
About. So it really puts the exercise that we're doing into perspective. How hard are we working? Are we overworking? Do we have proper form? Right. A lot of things when we're younger, we're more nimble. We can get away with it. As we get a little older, it's so important to pay attention
to form.
Rest,
recovery
as well. Your diet,
kind of
even
pre-rehabilitation
plays
all become far more important as you get.
I like warming up.
As you get older.
That helps me just be a little safer with stuff.
Yeah.
So all of these things, stretching too, all of these things need to be considered. Right. We know that exercise is so important that it can be the fountain of youth, but it can also be very detrimental if we don't treat it the right way.
Yeah, that's it. You have anything to add?
No, I've been fortunate to never have an injury, except for one time where I went through severe back pains for a couple days, maybe a week or so. That I had to take muscle relaxants. That was really debilitating. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it might have been I think it was due to a bunch of things: carrying lots of equipment at odd angles, driving, which is terrible. I think it was during a time where I was doing very heavy lifts, and I was strong. Right? I was doing heavy deadlifts and heavy squats, and what was hurting? My lower back. Mm-hmm. It was really, really hurting. So After that, I changed my lifestyle. I paid more attention to form. I started doing less weight, focused on other exercises. And while I still have back pain, it's not as bad. It's manageable. And a lot of times my exercises even helped, which is a whole another podcast. Yeah. How to use exercise to almost help mitigate pain. We've even talked about that in the past.
Yeah. And I've had a bunch of injuries, but almost all have been just traumatic on impact, like broken ribs, dislocated shoulder,
you got kicked in the ribs,
broken toes. I don't think I've had any major joint injuries. My shoulder bothers me because of my, like, I know there are certain things I can't do because of the dislocated shoulder or certain things that will bother it. But yeah, for the most part, I've
might come in handy one day in Lethal Weapon 2, where Mel Gibson,
it's not that bad,
was thrown into the river in a straitjacket, but was able to dislocate his shoulder and get out.
Yeah, no,
maybe if that,
that
ever happened to you, it might come in handy.
No, I can't do it on cue. it's the one good thing about it though. It's I've done it like 20 times, I want to say, over the years since I first did it, and the one good thing is it does feel good when you pop it back in. Like there's a sharp pain followed by like the soothing sensation. So it always kind of feels good,
so
like
freaky,
when it pops
dude.
Out to pop it it's back weird. In. But that's about it. But all right, I guess that's it. If you have anything to share, let us know what you think. ask questions, shoot us an email, or engage with us. All of our stuff is at thegymwits.com. And that is it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits.